Well, welcome everyone to our first worship service of this new year, and I wish everyone a happy new year. Welcome those here in the church hall, and those here through. Having problems with my head, must have changed shape. Welcome those here listening through the church website. Or on CD. The announcements for this week: we hope to have our evening service here tonight at 7:30, and then on Monday evening there's a Northern Presbytery meeting being held via Zoom, and that's the meeting at which Philip Dunwoody is due to answer the call from the Dromore congregation. And I haven't heard anything yet on that. Normally that means that that the call is going to be accepted, but we don't know that as yet, so tomorrow night is the night when that's officially answered. That's at 7:30. Robert Pinkerton will be our elder via Zoom on that meeting. Then Wednesday evening, there'll be a midweek prayer meeting here in the church hall at 8 o'clock, and Harold Kerr will lead that meeting. I'm going to be in Ballyclabber on Wednesday evening. It's the student preaching. Paul Wallace and Paul Flynn are due to be preaching in Ballyclabber. It'll only be the Ballyclabber congregation that will be there for the service, and they're the immediate family of the students who are preaching, and then also those who are on the Theological College Committee, who do the assessing of the preaching. I've been asked to serve in that committee. I haven't agreed to do so as yet, but I'm sitting on the committee to see how it goes for a wee while. So I'm due to be there on Wednesday night in Ballyclabber, and then I have to be in Dromara on Thursday night. John Coulter is preaching in Dromara on Thursday evening. That's also at 8 o'clock. Next Sabbath day, God willing, Sabbath school classes will be on at 11 o'clock. And these will be the first classes of the year. And there'll be a few pupils that will be in a new class. We hope to have four classes running. The numbers will be quite small. So if on any occasion pupils aren't going to be there, if you can let the teacher know as soon as possible in advance. Then the service is next Lord's Day, God willing, at 12 noon and at 7:30 p.m. The offerings at the end of 2020 for Tear Fund and for the Leprosy Mission, there was £465 for Tear Fund and £450 for the Leprosy Mission, and the deacons have agreed to make those amounts up to £500 each, so that will go off to those two organisations. Magazine subscriptions will be due in January for the Covenanter Witness and the Bulwark. I think Covenanter Witness is £13, is that right, Elliot? Donald, do you know what the... You think it's going to be 15? Right. Okay, right. Uh-huh. Messenger, there's no subscription for the Messenger because it wasn't produced most of last year. And so hopefully what you paid last year will cover whatever is produced this year. There'll be a box on the table in the way into the church hall next week for any stamps, any used stamps. The Leprosy Mission can make use of those. If you have used stamps at home, you can bring those. And if you're going into the church building, just set them on the vestibule table. And if you're coming into the church hall, there'll be a box on the table in the porch. So those are the announcements that I have. We'll begin our worship now as we come to God in prayer. So if you're able, please stand as we pray. Lord, our gracious Father in heaven, we praise you for this lovely bright Sabbath day morning with which we come to the start of a new year, and we praise you for this new year that you've brought us into. We thank you that today, as we begin a new week, first full week of the year, that we can do so in worship. We praise you, Lord, for the opportunity to be here, for the health and strength that we have. We pray, Lord, for those not able to be with us today. Pray for some who are away at a funeral. We pray for safekeeping for them in their travels. We pray for those who are not well enough to be here. And we pray that folk will recover from the illnesses that they have. We pray for some who are either in hospital or getting ready to go into hospital. And we pray, Lord, for your surrounding care over them. And we remember those not able to be out and about in these days. And we ask, Lord, for your help and comfort for them. And we pray that you will grant them safekeeping in these times. Lord, we ask that you will help us in our worship today. We thank you for the scriptures that we have to look to. And we just pray, Lord God, that you will speak to us through your word, that your Holy Spirit will be at work, and that you would remind us of your truth, and that you would work in our hearts, O Lord, as only you can. Hear our prayers now. Grant forgiveness for all our sins. We acknowledge that already this year we have sinned against you. We need to be washed and made clean. Hear us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let us read together from God's Word. If you'll turn, please, to the Gospel of Matthew. I want to read two places in Matthew's Gospel, and then also in the Gospel of John. So three short readings, the final one being the longest. Matthew chapter 4 at verse 18 is the first scripture reading, page 851 in our pew Bible. Matthew 4 at verse 18. This is God's word. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And then turning over to Matthew chapter 13. And verse 47 of that chapter, page 863 in our pew Bible. Little parable that Jesus tells. And he says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which, when it was full, they drew to shore, and they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but threw the bad away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth." And then John's Gospel, the final chapter of John, chapter 21. And at the beginning of that chapter, page 962 in our pew Bible, John chapter 21 at verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, that's James and John, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, We are going with you also." They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food?" They answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then, as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have just caught." Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land, full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. And we end our reading there at verse 11 in John chapter 21. Now, I was going to speak to the children. I don't actually see any children physically in front of me at the minute, but there may be through in the church building or listening at home at a later stage, and so I will say what I was intending to say. Just read from John chapter 21, and this is an event that happened after Jesus had risen from the dead. It tells us about a time when seven of his disciples went fishing one night, and they caught nothing at all. And that's an experience that the disciples have on more than one occasion in the Gospels, going fishing, catching nothing. I think in my early life, I only went fishing once, and it was a DIY fishing experience, and I had a big long stick, maybe about the length of this here. This is my 2 meter pole for measuring the distance between the seats. Getting that right. So I had a bit of a broken off stick, which was about the length of this pole, and I had a piece of ordinary white string in my pocket. And my neighbour had given me a fishing hook, and I had got myself a worm or two, and off I went to the Flax Dam in Altmover Glen, and I got my worm onto my fishing equipment, and cast the cast the worm with the hook into the water, and I was there for a while, probably about half an hour at most, and I brought my rod out of the water a few times to see if anything had happened. I didn't think anything had happened. Nothing had happened, and after half an hour, I thought, what's the point in this? And that was the end of my fishing experience. I caught nothing. And here in this chapter, the disciples go fishing all night, not with rods, but with a net, and they catch absolutely nothing. But then in the morning, when the best time for fishing was past, there's Jesus standing on the shore, and Jesus tells them where to put the net, and very soon the net is full of large fish, and they're counted later on. There's 153 large fish. Now, we're not told how this happened, but on earlier things that happened in the scriptures, we see how Jesus had control over the wind, control over the waves, and they did whatever he said, and he had control over diseases, he had control over evil spirits. And Jesus was well able to control the fish. He is the creator of all living things, and whatever he says, they do. So Jesus would have been able to cause the fish to swim into the area where the net was. And here was this net that was now full of fish. And not long after this, Jesus was going to be sending the disciples out, not as fishermen, but he was going to be sending them out to preach the good news of the gospel. And that would be like trying to catch men rather than catch fish. And as they preached the gospel, it would be like throwing out their nets to see who they could catch. And Jesus would make sure that many people would be drawn into that preaching net that the apostles threw out. And so when the apostle Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, there were 3,000 who believed. And Peter, as he preached the gospel, he was throwing out the net, and the Lord made sure that there were people who were caught up in that net. And Jesus drew the people in, just like Jesus drew the fish in. And the apostles caught far more people than they ever caught fish, from what we read in the scriptures. And I'll be saying a bit more about fishing shortly in our service. Now we're going to come to God in prayer. I was mentioning the presbytery meeting that's due for tomorrow night. Philip Dunwoody is due to answer the call from the Dromore congregation. And we pray for Philip as he speaks at that meeting tomorrow night. It's an online meeting via Zoom. And then the student preaching takes place on Wednesday evening and Thursday evening, with the two Pauls on Wednesday and John on Thursday. We can remember the churches in the Republic of Ireland with their further lockdown regulations that have come in there. And we remember the situation with our schools, where there's a great deal of uncertainty as to just how things are going to pan out over the coming days. So we come to God in prayer now, and if you're able, please stand as we pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that we can look to you today as the God who made this world, and the God who knows all that's happening in this world. And we thank you that you know our circumstances and our needs. We thank you, Lord, for the scriptures that you've given to us and for the things that are contained there. And we pray that you'll be pleased to use your word for our good today. We pray, Lord, for the health situation in our country at present, with concerns about the rising rates of virus infection. We pray, Lord, for those who are already ill, and we pray that they will get the treatment that they need, and we pray for effectiveness in that. We pray for the healthcare staff, that you will keep them well, that they will be able to escape illness themselves. We pray that there will be enough people to do all the jobs that are there to be done. We pray for the process of vaccination, that can proceed well and efficiently, and that will be effective. We pray for wisdom for those who make decisions as to what will be appropriate at different times. And Lord, we look to you for your help in these things that are difficult for everyone. We pray for our schools as they are facing times of just not being quite sure how things are going to be after the initial starting up again. We pray that things will work out okay this week, with pupils not being in school, but studying from home and being taught from home. We pray that the arrangements then for the weeks to come, that those will work out. And we pray for those who are coming up to exams in the months ahead. And Lord, we pray that there can be a way found by which people have the opportunity to do the work they need to do and prepare. And we pray that people will not be disadvantaged because of all the way things are in these times. We pray for the new arrangements in place in terms of trade. And we pray, O God, that all the initial teething difficulties with that can be overcome, and that there wouldn't be too much interruption in those things. We pray, Lord, for the cause of your gospel, and we pray that you'll be working, O Lord, in these times. We ask, Father, that you'll be drawing people to yourself, and we pray that there'll be many who will come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will become all important in their thinking and living. We pray for the churches in the Republic of Ireland as they're into their level 5 restrictions again. We pray for them not able to meet together, and we pray that you will sustain them and provide for them in the difficulties that presents. We pray, Father, for the preaching that the student ministers will be doing over the next few days, and we pray for them as they do that on Wednesday night and Thursday night. And we pray for them as they start into their teaching again. We pray that in their final term at the college that they will learn much, that they will keep well, that there can be continuity in the teaching. And we just look to you, Lord, for your mercies in that. We pray for Philip Dunwoody as he tomorrow night answers the call from the Dromore congregation. We pray for Philip that you'll help him, give him all he needs for that. And we pray for the congregation of Dervock today and the folk in Dromore. And we pray that you will help them, O Lord, in the whatever lies ahead for them in the future. Pray for wisdom also for the presbytery, if there has to be an interim moderator appointed. And Lord, we look to you in these things. We know that you're a great and wise God, and that you deploy your resources as you see best, and we acknowledge, O Lord, your sovereignty in these things. We pray also for Kenneth Stewart in the call to Loch Brickland congregation. We pray that you will guide him and help him in the decision that he will have to make in due course. Lord, hear our prayers now, and we pray that you will show us your truth in your word. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. Now come to God's Word. The three scripture passages that I read today all have something to do with fishing. And fishing was an activity that was probably in the news more often than usual in the year 2020. Back at the end of the springtime, when there were a few easings in the restrictions, one of the first things to be allowed was angling. I don't know if any of you took up angling at that time, just to be able to have something that you were allowed to do. I don't imagine there were probably too many people that caught coronavirus as a result of angling. But then as the year drew to a close and the deadline for the Brexit trade deal got closer and closer, it emerged that one of the major obstacles to a trade deal being agreed was fishing. And in the end, there was an agreement that was reached, but I'm going to try to adjust this thing again. My microphone keeps coming off my ears. That feels a lot better. My guess is that fishing will soon become a contentious issue over the coming years. Well, fishing is something that features in the Gospels, and I want to speak about two of the places in Matthew's Gospel where fishing is mentioned, and we read those two passages, one in chapter 13 and one in chapter 4. And I want to speak about the one in Matthew 13, first of all, where we have a fishing parable. The Lord Jesus tells the little parable of the dragnet. It's the last of seven kingdom parables that are here in Matthew 13. And verses 47 and 48, Jesus says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore, and they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but threw the bad away." And this little parable of the Lord Jesus, it tells us what is actually happening in our world at the present time. The gospel of Jesus Christ is being proclaimed, and that proclamation of the gospel of Christ, or the gospel of the kingdom, it's like the casting of a large dragnet upon the surface of the sea. And when this net is drawn in, it gathers up sea creatures of all sorts, and they're all together caught up into the net. And so it is with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The good news goes out, and all different kinds of people are, in a sense, taken captive by that message. People of all backgrounds, of all nationalities, are affected in some way by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, usually in life, to get caught is a bad thing. But where the gospel is concerned, to get caught is a good thing. And so it is in this parable. It is a blessing to be caught up in the kingdom of heaven dragnet that Jesus speaks of. You see, there are many people who never get caught up into that net at all. There are many people throughout the world who are left untouched by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you don't want to be left untouched by the gospel. You don't want to be uncaught in this regard. But this parable shows us also that being caught is not enough in itself. Because after the catch is brought in, then there's a selection process as to what is kept and what is not kept. And we're told that the good, that which is considered to be good, is gathered into vessels, while that which is bad is thrown away. And Jesus explains what this is all about then in verses 49 and 50. And he tells us that this is what's going to happen at the end of the age, the end of this world in its present form. Jesus says, "The angels will come forth. They will separate the wicked from among the just and cast them," that's cast the wicked, "into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And these words of Jesus bring a solemn warning to all of us who are here today, or to everyone who is listening to this message. Because all of us have been caught in this net. The gospel hasn't passed us by. We have in one way or another been caught up into the gospel net. We are people who know something of the gospel message. We have heard the gospel truth. In one way or another, we have all been part of the earthly church. And that is a blessing. Because if you're going to make it into one of those vessels where the sea creatures are kept, the good place to be, well, you have to be caught in the net, first of all. And for everyone listening to this message, you have been caught. But being caught is not the same as being kept. And Jesus says that among the just who are caught up in the great gospel net, there are also those who are wicked. And Jesus says that the angels will separate the wicked from among the just. And so it is the case that not everyone who is in the earthly church will be in the heavenly assembly. There will be a separation that takes place. There will be an eternal separation that takes place. And what does Jesus say will happen to those who are judged to be the bad or the wicked? Well, it would be nice to think that they would just be thrown back into the sea where they have been caught out of. But that's not what Jesus says. Jesus says that they will be cast into the furnace of fire. And the consistent message of God's word is that because of our sin, we are all heading towards the condemnation of God and eternal punishment. And we all need to be rescued from that. And those people who are never caught up into the gospel net, those people stand condemned already because of their sin. And they won't continue to live on in this present type of world. And neither will those who are caught up in the gospel net, but who aren't true believers. God's word assures us that there will be no peace for the wicked. God's word teaches us that the wicked will get what they want. They want to be separated from the godly, and they'll get what they want, but they won't want what they get. For what they get will be unremitting wailing and gnashing of teeth. So says the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who has been in heaven, who's been on earth, and who now is in heaven again. And Jesus would not use words like these if these words were not the truth. Jesus was full of compassion. But he tells us the truth plainly. And here we have a great and solemn warning from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a warning to all of us to not be complacent. Having been part of the earthly church will be no good if we're thrown away into the furnace of fire. And it's good to be caught, but only if you're going to be kept. And not all who are caught are kept. Not all who hear the gospel, not all who are part of a visible earthly church are kept forever. But there are those who are thrown into the furnace of fire. J.C. Ryle says, we may be inside the net and yet not be in Christ. And so today we need to consider Am I really in Christ, or am I just in the net? It's good to be in that net, but it's not enough. So this is the first fishing-related episode, a fishing parable in Matthew chapter 13. Then we also read in Matthew chapter 4, and in particular verses 18 to 22. And here we have a calling to fish. Jesus here is calling some men, men that he knew, to follow him. At verse 18 it says that Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, and they were casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. That's what Jesus saw. And then next verse is what he said. Then he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And their response is that immediately they leave their nets and they follow Jesus. And then very soon afterwards he sees two other brothers, James and John, the sons of Zebedee. And along with their father, they're mending their nets. Jesus calls them, and we're told that immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. So here were four fishermen, two sets of brothers, and Jesus calls them to be his disciples. And he gives them a straightforward instruction. He simply says, "Follow me." And so he gave them a choice. They had to choose to follow Jesus or to remain where they were. They could keep on doing what they were familiar with. They could keep on staying in the place they were familiar with. They could stick to what they knew, or they could follow Jesus. They didn't know what that would mean for them. Jesus didn't tell them where he was going or what following him was going to involve. And yet we find that Peter and Andrew, James and John, they all left their work as fishermen, and they became part of that group of 12 who went with Jesus wherever Jesus went. And they became his followers. They became his disciples. And the call of the gospel that goes out in these days is very similar to the call received by these fishermen. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a call to people to follow Jesus. It's a call to leave our own ways behind and to follow him. And he doesn't tell us in advance where this is going to lead us in life and all it is going to mean for us. These four fishermen, they had already heard Jesus' teaching, and they knew what kind of man he was. And when he called them to be his disciples, they weren't going to miss out on that opportunity. And so they immediately went to follow Jesus. They responded gladly. And today God calls upon us to leave behind our own self-centered lives and to center our lives instead on the Lord Jesus and the cause of his kingdom. He calls us in our day to be followers of Jesus Christ, not followers of the fashions and trends of our society, but followers of the Son of God, the out-of-fashion Son of God. And Jesus didn't tell these men what lay ahead for them to any extent at all, but he did tell them something that would be the result of following him. Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." They weren't fishers of men. But Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And if they followed Jesus, they would be changed. He would make them into something they were not. It would have an impact upon their lives. They would become fishers of men. Jesus was going to train these men for the work of his kingdom. And they would be trained to preach the good news. And in doing so, in preaching that good news, it would be like casting out their nets. And they would be catching people in that gospel net. They would be catching men and women for Jesus. They would be fishing for other followers. Now, that was probably a hard thing for those men to believe. They didn't have any experience at all of being fishers of men. And maybe they found it hard to imagine themselves actually being in that role. But Jesus said that's what would happen. Jesus said, if you follow me, I will make you fishers of men. It was their job to follow Jesus. It was Jesus' job to make them into fishers of men. And Jesus is able to do that using ordinary people. The disciples weren't special people. They were ordinary fishermen. And if you have been caught up in that great gospel dragnet, and you're glad that you have, if you're now among the saved, then here is part of God's purpose in saving you. You're to follow Jesus, and Jesus will make you to be a fisher of men. And let us pray that the Lord would be pleased to so work in our lives. We've been greatly blessed by him in having heard the gospel, in knowing the saving power of the gospel of Jesus. And let us pray that as we seek to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, that he will change us so that we become fishers of men. And let's pray also that those who are caught will themselves go on to be fishers of men. This is how the kingdom grows. All of us enter into this new year of 2021 not knowing what it will hold for us. But it may be that it will be a year of many opportunities, a year full of opportunities for fishing for men. People who in the past have shown no interest in spiritual and eternal things, they may be looking for a better investment because what they've given themselves to has failed them. And people may be open to the gospel message this year who were not open to it in the past. I hope over the next few days to be putting together a little leaflet to be printed and made available for giving out to folk in the area. And we can pray that God will use that, and that there may be people who will respond to something that they read in that. If you're a Christian, pray that the Lord will do for you this year what he did do for Peter and Andrew and James and John in making them into fishers of men. Let's pray that the Lord would be pleased to use unlikely people such as ourselves, just as he used these unlikely people, these fishermen. The more serious we are about following the Lord Jesus, the more we may begin to see him shaping us to be fishers of men in 2021. The parable of the Lord Jesus shows us the great seriousness of the gospel message. People need to be caught in the gospel net. And Jesus calls his saved people to be fishers of men. And he tells us that it's our job to follow him. It's our job to stick close to him and to learn from him. And it's his job to make us fishers of men. And you might find it hard to imagine yourself being a fisher of men, that you would go out and that people will be influenced by what you say and do for the cause of the gospel. But remember how it was for those disciples of Jesus. They were out there all night long fishing, and they were, many of them were fishermen, and they had the experience and they knew what they were doing, and they knew all the tricks of the trade, and they caught nothing. But when Jesus came along, very soon their net was full. And our hope is not in our abilities. Our hope is not in that we might say the right thing to the right person at the right time. But our hope must be in Jesus Christ, that he would make us fishers of men. And just as he can control the fish and make them go where the net is, so he can control people's hearts, and he can turn their hearts towards the things of God. And let us pray that we will be fishers of men, and that in doing that we will have the joy of seeing people being caught by the gospel, because it's a good thing to be caught up in the gospel net. Amen. Now, the psalm we close our service with is part of Psalm 25. We'll be singing to the tune Dennis, number 193. Psalm 25, and we sing stanzas 9 through to 14. O Lord, I plead with you that for your own name's sake you'll pardon all my sinfulness, for it is very great. What man now fears the Lord? He's taught which way to choose. His offspring will possess the earth. His soul will dwell at ease. The secret of the Lord all those who fear him know. The knowledge of his covenant he unto them will show. My eyes upon the Lord continually are set, for he it is who will release my feet out of the net. O turn your face to me, and to me mercy show, because I very lonely am, and I am afflicted so. My grief of heart abounds, my sore distress relieve. See my affliction and my pain, and all my sins forgive. The Lord is the one who can release us out of one net, and he can catch us up into a far better net instead. And we look to him as the one who saves. And so we sing his praise. Psalm 25, singing 9 to 14, the tune 193. We remain seated to sing, and after this singing, then I'll close the service in the benediction.
O Lord, I plead with you that for your own name's sake you'll pardon all my sinfulness, for it is very great. What man fears the Lord? He's taught which way to choose. His offspring will possess it. His soul will dwell at ease. The secret of the Lord, all those who fear him know. The knowledge of his covenant unto them will show. My eyes upon the Lord continually are set. for he it is. Oh, well, release my feet out of the net. Oh, turn your face to me and to me mercy show, because I very lonely am, and I'm afflicted so. My grief of heart abounds, my soul distress relief. See my affliction and my pain, and all my sins forgive.
I receive God's blessing. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and fellowship of God the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.